I hope you had a good lunch. Hope you feel this is the after lunch slot is always a bit of a nightmare as a preacher speaker. So we're going to have a video. In fact, we're going to do a bit of Taylor Swift. Only one Swiftie in the house. Okay. Never heard of her. Okay. That's okay. That's all right. Now we're thinking this afternoon about teaching truth in today's culture. You'll be aware that the culture that our children and young people breathe in, drink in, is not a Christian culture. And the thing is, you can try and protect your children from the culture, but they will get it anyway. And therefore, I'm going to suggest a way to try and help your children to read the culture and to begin to understand the culture so that they can live in it in a way that's godly, thoughtful, etc. Okay? Because I think, when I was growing up, I had a Christian friend who didn't have a TV. Which, just looking back, did anybody else grow up without a TV? One or two of you. Did you go round to your friend's house who had a TV? Yes. And for me, when he said he didn't have a TV, but he still watched Rick Mayall comedies because he went around to his mates, I was thinking, what is the point? I'd rather, as a dad, I'd rather watch that stuff with him than him go off to his mates and watch it. So that's the approach I'm going to take this afternoon as a parent, as a kids leader. Let's watch it with them where appropriate and talk about it. So how do we talk about it? I'm relying here on this guy. Oh, hello. Not that guy. That's me. I'm going bald. Next slide, if you would. So this is Ted Turnow. Ted Turnow is a professor, an American professor in the Czech Republic, Czechia. And he wrote these two books, Popologetics, which is about popular culture and Christian perspective. In other words, what we're going to do now, how you read popular culture and understand it. And then he did a kind of more applied, simpler version called The Pop Culture Parent, which I'd really recommend in terms of how do you do this kind of stuff with 3s to 5s, 5s to 8s, 8s to 11s, okay? Now, I'm going to kind of... Popologetics is a massive, thick book, and you know, worth reading, but it's quite heavy. I wouldn't expect you to do that. So I'm going to simplify his five questions that he suggests we ask of all popular culture. Remember, popular culture isn't just TV, isn't just music. It's the books you read, it's the magazines you read, it's everything around you in that sense, okay? And he gives us five questions, which I'll talk through, and then we'll do it ourselves. And the five questions are these. Right, first one, please. What's the story? Okay, so you watch a... dead easy, isn't it? You watch a TV program, and it's simply kind of, what is the story? What's going on in this book, in this song, in this film, in this program? Okay? Quite an easy place to start. What's the story? Second question, how is it told? All right, we're going a little bit deeper now, but not too tricky. What's the feel of it? What's the lighting or the color, the rhythm? So take a popular music song. Is it fast or is it slow? Is it upbeat or mournful? Is the music video in black and white or in full color? Noticing those things, by the way, when we're going to watch this music video in a bit, these things are multi-million pound productions. They're not, every little bit of it is deliberate and intentional to convey something, to communicate something. And so all it's doing is it's just alerting us to that. So you read a book, who's portrayed as the hero in that book? And is that a bit of a surprise? Who's portrayed as the baddie? And is that a bit of a surprise? So it's that kind of thing that you just want to alert yourself to. Third question, what's good about it? Now, we're really bad at this as Christians, aren't we? Because as soon as we think about popular culture, we go, it's evil. We mustn't watch it. Common grace, okay, which is an important Christian doctrine, common grace means that everybody gets something right. Even the Muslims get something right, don't they? There's one God, okay? Even atheists get something right. Science is important and it matters. Okay, so in other words, it's spotting, it's looking at this and saying, what is it getting right? What's good about it? In what it's portraying as beautiful, what can we say amen to here? You know, are they pointing out something like how good love is when you listen to a popular music song? Yeah, love is amazing. It's a great thing. We want to say amen to that. Is it saying how difficult a breakup is? Well, again, we want to say, yeah, amen. It is. Our emotions are hard. So what can you say yes and amen to? Now, I think this is really important because when your children or your young people are watching, listening, reading something, they're doing it because they enjoy it. If you as an adult, parent, whatever it might be, come along and go, this is terrible, turn it off. How's that young person going to feel? Or that child going to feel? Actually, if you sit down and watch it with them and laugh with them at the bits you're meant to laugh at or actually genuinely enjoy it with them, then that's you've got a connection there. Okay? That really matters. Okay? The stuff that the world produces can be wonderful and beautiful and good. But then, question number four. What's bad about it? What's evil or idolatrous? What would God disapprove of? All right? So that love song that says love is good, but it's also saying love is everything and nothing else matters and nothing, you know, I need you to complete me. At that point, we want to go, no. Okay? Does that make sense? Yeah? And sometimes when we spot those things, we just need to ask the question, really, is that right? Do I need to have a significant other person to be a whole, to be complete? Which, you know, almost sometimes you just need to state it to show up how foolish it is. And then fifthly, what would Jesus say? How does the cross and resurrection answer the longings of this work? So, love is amazing, and I need a significant other person to complete me. Well, the cross and the resurrection says, and in Jesus your husband is waiting. You see? Does that make sense? Yeah? So what's the story? How's it told? What's good about it? What's bad about it? And what would Jesus say? Now, I regularly do this with my youth group, or I did when I was a few months back. We would do it at least once a term. I would let them choose a music video, and then we'd watch it and do these five questions together. And it was a lot of fun because they got to choose what they were interested in, okay? And I think you could do this I think it gets harder as you get younger. So Jason's gone to the under fives. So he was just saying, I don't know if you know Jason, he was saying, he did it with his 14 to 18s group and it was brilliant. 11 to 14s, it was harder. Although I think he said if they'd chosen it might have worked better. I think you can begin to do it in a simple way with 8s to 11s, and then you might just kind of pick one or two of these things with under eights and just begin to ask simple questions like, who's the hero here? What do you think of them? So when I did this on a summer camp, we did a bit of a movie every night. And after the movie, asked quite an open question like around that. I think we did The Incredibles one year, and it was kind of what did you make of the heroes here? You know, what were they perfect? How were they flawed? You know, that kind of thing. And then begin to talk about how does that point us to a longing of a greater hero, or along the lines of the baddie. What was the baddie doing that was so bad? Okay, so just getting them to think about what they're watching, listening to, reading, just helping them just to have those antennae up. Because if you're like me and the kids are like this, you put on TV and you veg. You it's like kind of all the kind of every bone goes, every muscle goes out of your body, even your brain muscles. And it's just kind of going, okay, let's just awaken those brain muscles a little bit so that we're just thinking just a little bit as we watch. Right. So we're going to watch Taylor Swift, Anti-Hero. My 10-year-old adores Taylor Swift. Absolutely loves her. And just that's all she listens to. And my eldest managed to get Taylor Swift tickets for next year. And she was so made up. So this is what 10-year-olds are listening to and younger. Okay. And so this was a massive hit. And we'll watch the video if we can. Can you put the subtitles on it as well? Oh, you're amazing. Go for it.
Say.
It's the worst.
But who got the beach house?
She's having it turned into a f***ing cat sanctuary.
What? Cats don't even like the beach.
What about the rest of the assets? I flew all the way here from Ibiza!
To my children, I leave 13 cents.
No! Wait, you guys. There's probably a secret encoded message that means something else.
Yeah, that's what Mom would always do. P.S. There's no secret encoded message that means something else. Love, Taylor.
Hi. Great. Well, good job, Chad. You finally pushed it too far.
What are you implying by that?
I think she's implying that you haven't hesitated to trade on Mom's name.
Excuse me?
Do you not remember your book, Growing Up Swift?
And your stupid podcast, Life Comes At You Swiftly, which I'm pretty sure you're recording for on your phone right now. Chad, come on!
Chad?
Okay, well, why don't you go cry about it at the country club that you name-dropped Mom to get into, Preston? And Kimber, you're literally wearing her clothes right now.
No, I'm not.
That's from the Fearless Tour 2009.
Okay, well, you know what? We were very, very close. I miss her.
They were so close.
Okay, I'm just gonna say it. I think she killed her.
You've gone too far!
Kimber was the last one with her! She didn't fall off the balcony! She was pushed!
It's me. I am the problem. It's me. It's me. I am the problem. It's me. It's me. I. Everybody agrees. Everybody agrees.
Thank you. Good. Let me grab a microphone. Did you enjoy that? What do we think? You enjoyed it. So
it's a bit odd.
In the middle it gets a bit odd. It's quite a long music video, yeah. I think I love it. I think it's great. My daughters have got me into Taylor Swift, but you could see just how expensively produced that was. You know, there's like a mini movie so you've got the song and you've got the video bit, and it's all very thoughtfully and carefully put together. So what are our five questions? What's the story? How's it told? What's good about it? What's bad about it? What would Jesus say? So what's the story?
I think that's what I found odd. I didn't understand.
You didn't understand it?
No,
it's quite complex.
Not living up to expectations.
Not living up to expectations. So, I don't know, do we want to use this mic or do you just want to shout? Are we all right shouting and I'll repeat it? Use the mic, okay. Right, you've been told to use the mic. We're going to use the mic. I'll run around like Annika Rice, that shows my age. Go on.
Not living up to
expectations. Oh, how do I turn it on? Switch the bottom. You got it? There we go. Say it again for me.
Not living up to people's expectations.
Thanks, Abby. Where did you get that from in the song?
Being like your own anti-hero, like living or not living up to your own expectations.
Yeah, brilliant.
I saw the woman's self-realization of realizing that she's been letting people down, and it might all come back to get her.
Yeah, absolutely. She's been letting people down, and the guilt that brings. There's an inner her who she's embarrassed by. Let's go to the back and then the front.
I just wanted you to run across the room.
Thanks.
I'm very much feeling like an outsider consistently.
Yeah, this is the biggest name in the world right now. And she feels like an outsider. Isn't that quite telling?
She's a person that repeats cycles and repeats negative cycles. And so it's the constant, like, oh, I'm the problem because the same thing keeps happening to me, the same situation, and I do the same thing and the same outcome happens and I can't seem to break it.
Yeah, the problem's me. Do you see where we're going? The problem's me.
Generally, she feels like a failure.
Yeah. Yeah, the most successful woman in the world, probably, certainly singer, and she feels like a failure.
There's also this implication that she's fat, or that she thinks she is, and she's definitely not.
Yeah, so these multiple Taylor Swifts, huge ones and little ones, and eating kind of eggs with things, horrible things coming out of them. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Body image is huge, yeah.
Self-loathing that she can't see any way out of.
Yeah. Yeah, real self-loathing.
Quite similar to that one, but that question of where does her value come from?
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else? And what's the story?
So quite a few allusions to drinking a lot.
Yep.
It doesn't really say it's an escape, but it kind of implies that it probably is.
Yeah. Absolutely. Any other thoughts on what's the story?
thought actually it might be a bit of a response to, like, you do you, you're good enough, you're great. And actually she's saying, well, actually I'm not good enough, I'm not great. And, you know, culture might say you're doing great, but I actually don't feel I am. But then that links into what we've already said.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful. Because what's really interesting is, as we read the culture, it's actually quite countercultural, isn't it? You know, she's going, this isn't working. I chose Taylor Swift because she's very thoughtful and she tells stories in her songs. And just because I think it pushes us a little bit, it's quite an unusual theme. Okay, any other thoughts on what's the story? Yeah.
And we are our own worst critic.
We're our own worst critic, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if we're going to be honest, you know, we're the most honest about ourselves, aren't we? We know where the issues lie. We know where the problems lie. I think that's what she's saying all the way through. There's some weird bits on there. So that bit in the middle, I think, with Chad and the children, I think that's kind of to do with, and even the people I produce, you know, it original sin, you know, even the people who come from my genetics are part of the problem too. The cycle is not broken with another generation, I think. How's it told? Go wild here. You know, tell me all about it, the music, the pictures, the everything. How's it told? Hang on. Hands up, and I'll come to you.
It's too wet. Very upbeat.
Very upbeat, isn't it? Do you want to pass it to you, right?
It's upbeat, but it's also quite dark. All the scenery is very dark and oppressive.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you don't get a sense of... Although the song is quite upbeat, it's quite heavy, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a juxtaposition, isn't there, between, you know, that real poppy, boppy lightness, but the subject matter, but how it looks... Yeah, so I will come over. It just saved me running back and forth.
Yeah, I was quite surprised with some of the complicated words, like narcissism. If it's trying to appeal to a 10-year-old, yep. These are words that aren't in their vocabulary.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of things in there which aren't in the vocabulary and aren't their reference points. So there was a line, along the lines of, everyone says I'm a sexy baby, which is a reference to a comedy, which I think 30 Rock, I think, which I don't get, you know. So that it's very carefully crafted and thoughtful, but she's been a kind of teeny bop star for 15 odd years now. So both her teeny bop stars have grown up as with her, but also she's gained new teeny bop fans, if you like. Sorry, hands up over here. Right, start here and then go. Right.
So I was quite taken by the theme, like the 60s vibe, considering it's Taylor Swift, like she's usually quite out there with the latest and greatest.
Yeah.
Yet it's set in that 60s vibe with all those colours.
Yeah.
I don't know what the reason is, but that was just quite interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was kind of, colours were slightly unusual, weren't they? Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I think it's interesting how it moves from, like, in the beginning, she sees all these weird ghosts and she's, like, running away, and then how the song progresses in the different verses with her, with the whole sexy baby thing and her coming into the room and she's too big for the situation, and then she's outside and it's... But it's all to do with the same... Like, I feel like in the beginning she's very, like, enclosed and she's trying to run away from stuff, and in the end she's just sat on the roof just... Well, this is how it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, she's kind of accepted.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and then relating to that, all of the different outfits in it that she's wearing like 10 different outfits.
Yep.
And how they all come together at the end as well, and they're all just, like it feels like different aspects of her personality are all just, well, we're here now. I realise this, and this one as well, they're all me.
Yeah, that's really helpful, thank you. I think, do you want to pass it forward? Just that sense of... I'm such a big star, I can't live a normal life. Oh, well, you know, I'm just going to have to put up with it. Yeah, go on, Amy.
Just that thing of her being too big for the room reminded me of that Alice in Wonderland type thing, and drinking from the bottle, and that escapism sort of idea sort of came across. And the other thing for me was that although it was really, like the colours and everything were saying dark, it was deliberately comical.
Yeah.
So that was like, you were laughing at things that were really horrible.
Yeah.
And I felt a bit uncomfortable.
Good. I think we're meant to. Because the world laughs at it. But actually it's deeply serious, isn't it? Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I think it's interesting what you're saying about it being aimed at 10-year-olds, because I don't think she necessarily is aiming it at 10-year-olds. She's aiming it at much older, but it's interesting to 10-year-olds,
yes.
Which is the really, like, because how they're viewing it, they're going to be missing the things that we're saying. Like, you know, there's a line in it at tea time. Well, that's a phrase that they're used to. And it's a bit odd in the song, and whether or not she's just trying to, like, normalize something at that, and like, you know, I stare at the sun but I won't look in the mirror, they can, you know, we can understand the context of like, oh, I'll be willing to blind myself but I'm not willing to look at myself.
Yeah.
And that kind of like, we can see all of that as adults, but the really scary thing is like, you know, she's aiming it for people who can actually understand it and see it. But they're not the people that are watching it. The people that are watching it are, like, looking at the pretty clothes and looking at the, like, you know, oh, it's really funny, she's really big there, and, you know, all of those things. And they're missing what she's trying to get across some of the time, which in some ways is quite scary, because then what message are they getting from it?
Right, right. I think that's a good point. You know, we've dissected it as adults really well, and your children won't. But they will still be breathing it in. They will still be kind of getting that sense. I mean, even if it's just the chorus, hi, it's me, I'm the problem, it's me. Do we think that's good or bad? That's up to you. But that, you know, that's what my daughter goes around the house singing. They are worse things. But that's... so, you know, at the heart of it, that simple message of, hi, it's me, I'm the problem, it's me. You know, without all the kind of Taylor Swift back. And, you know, if she's listening to that, her favourite singer in the world, singing, hi, it's me, I'm the problem, it's me, you know, what's that saying? You know, in a sense, that without all the kind of extra fruity bits, that's the bit, that's the kind of message, isn't it, I think? It's the bit that said the most, yeah. Yeah. Do you want to say something? Yeah, go on, Richard.
There seemed at some point to be pictures of her as two people, right? A good tailor and a bad tailor.
Yeah.
The bad tailor is almost corrupting the good one,
yep.
But the bad one isn't suffering the effects. So you watch some of the pictures there, the bad, they're drinking together, and the bad one keeps not, and the good one's just getting drunker and worse off. And at the end, you've also got her coming in, and then the two there, and almost like, which one am I going to listen to?
Yeah. That inner demon. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank you.
I thought it was interesting the way in the funeral scene at the end it became dialogue.
Yes.
You know, and it stopped being music. So that sort of was...
Yeah.
That kind of...
That's only in the video.
Short,
that's not in the song.
Right.
But yeah, it is quite startling, isn't it? Quite unusual for a music video to suddenly break into narrative, essentially. Mm. Yeah.
And then the fact of the funeral that she expected... I don't know whether it was sort of she expected to upset people or whether she expected not to have a kind of happy family life.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing at the end, it was, you know, very negative.
Yeah, it was quite tragic,
sad.
Wasn't it?
Yeah,
really tragic, but done in a comedic way. Okay. Question 3. What's good about it? What's good about it?
Like we said, it's going against what the culture's saying at the moment. You know, you get your positive, you be you, all those kind of things. It's going against that, saying actually, people don't feel like that. This is how even the biggest star in the world even feels.
Yep. Yeah, thank you. That countercultural nature.
It's not glamorising sinful behaviours.
Yeah. It's been quite honest, hasn't it? About getting drunk and, you know, all what that means. Yeah, thank you.
As a video, it's skillfully made.
Yeah.
Creative.
Yeah, thank you. And that's important. That's a really important point. It is, in terms of artwork, I think it's quite... I'm not an artist, but I think it's quite impressive. It's quite incredible. And we want to say that. You know, it's part of God's creative juices that he's put in us.
It seems a good critique of success and the challenges that that brings. It's she's kind of saying, you know, I've achieved all this and I'm this big, but this is all the baggage and the influence it has on other, on the people around me.
Yep, thank you.
So I was saying here two things with it that effectively says I've tried drinking and it didn't help.
Yeah.
But also with that chorus bit, I'm the problem. That put me in mind, actually, the Matt Redman song, Sorry Lord for the Thing I've Made It, written mm-hmm. by somebody who's created a lot of our great worship songs, saying, hang on, it's not just that. And that realization that we don't get everything right.
Yeah.
And so both as a specific example with the drink, but even as a general yeah. point.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I think the relatability for some children, particularly young children, who will look at Taylor Swift and see this amazing person who has got everything going for them, everything's right, but actually she's saying, oh, I still have problems and I still struggle. And I think that's a really good message for children, because we all have struggles and obviously we look for God for our support and answers, but in the modern world, they don't have that message. I think that's really relatable.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. I think there was a hand up over here.
It was quite similar to that one, but yeah, she's being just very truthful about what I think lots of girls feel like. Yep. So I think it's bringing into light that actually if you feel like that, you know, other people do too. So it's almost like you're not on your own in that,
yeah.
which is tragic, but
yeah,
it's quite truthful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think and in that way is really key, isn't it? You know, almost talking about mental health and it could spark a really interesting discussion with your child or your children's group. You're like, you know, do you feel like that? I mean, that's quite a simple question that, you know, you could ask a six-year-old, do you ever feel like that? They might say no, fine. But they might say yes, and, you know, the discussion could move on. Right, a few more things. Thank you.
It's been alluded to in what other people have said, but it's very self-aware of a lot of things, so self-aware of the whole drinking culture not being a good thing and not doing anything for you, and being self-aware of how other people feel about you as well. So just like she's got really good self-awareness of the things that do work and the things that don't in terms of what she's trying to do to help herself out in this particular video.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, definite self-awareness going on.
Just that we can't save ourselves.
Yeah.
That she's tried lots of things and they don't work. She can't save herself.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, she still hasn't found what she's looking for. So I think, I mean, that sense of sin and awareness of, she wouldn't call it sin, but that sense in which she's not good enough. You know, she needs a saviour. She's not enough. Okay, so question number four, what's bad about it? What's idolatrous evil around it? Yeah.
It's a bit odd. I'd said that kind of one of the last positives is also one of the problems in it, is that it's without hope.
Yeah.
It's, you know, at the end, it's acceptance of her doom rather than I need to keep looking for a way out.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
I think the part where she says she's looking down from hell. Like choosing hell. I mean, that's not good. Who would want to choose hell?
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? I've kind of almost in that comedic way as well.
Yeah.
That is kind of being a bit silly. Oh, she's looking up from hell.
It's okay.
Yeah, sure. Yep, right there.
It feels a really kind of self-centered view. You know, everything surrounding her, there's no sense of community or family there. Even the family that are there, it's almost like it feels like a hatred or a disdain for them.
Yeah.
That feels really quite toxic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just the truth that God made us and created us as wonderful beings, and how we can relate to what she say, which is that she is purely bad. And, you know, that she is just, the problem is her, and she is the problem when actually she's God's creation, and that is the truth.
It's funny, isn't it? She's almost flipped from, so our culture says, you're worth it, you know, you're valuable, And she's kind of flipped so far the other way to say, well, no, I'm not. I'm just awful. And actually, yeah, we've got the line, the balance. Yeah. Sorry, go on.
Just musically, I feel like the style of the music, the major tune, it's kind of glossing over actually all the deep meaningful words.
Yep.
It's happy, it's a boppy tune, it's catchy, but it's not really, it doesn't reflect what she's actually saying.
Yeah, so that juxtaposition is, quite, yeah, you're all going to be going home singing it. It's really catchy. It's really catchy. I love it. Anything else that you'd want to say on that? One more, I think. Thank you.
It's kind of a gross one, but like the glittery sick.
Yeah.
Why is it glittery? That's not... A, like if you're going to put sick in a video, you should probably use proper sick. But also, why would you use proper sick? I'm really focusing on this one. I'm very, very sorry. But it's kind of glamorizing throwing up a little bit by making it glitter. Like that's how it feels to me anyway, and I'm really sorry to bring up sick so much.
Yeah, and the egg as well, and then she so her blood as well. So it's
gory stuff.
Oh yeah. So that's interesting. I hadn't thought of that before. That sense in which everything that's horrible, you know, egg yolk might not be horrible, but you know, blood, sick, egg yolk is glittery. Does that reflect that the video and the song? The video and the song is making something quite dark, actually quite kind of comedic. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
It's more response rather than additional answer. So I saw that quite differently. I thought what she was symbolizing there was that actually all there is to her is just effervescent glittery stuff. You know, she bleeds it, she vomits it. You know, that actually is my life really only made out of sparkle and glitter?
Interesting.
That's what I thought she was saying. I'm not sure about the egg bit, though, to be honest.
Yeah.
I thought it might be because the video might be censored if there was blood and sick in it, like with eating disorders and things like that.
Yeah.
I thought there might be censors, which is why they've made it more of a light-hearted thing, which does then mean that it's appealing to younger children because it hasn't got the censors on it and things like that. But I don't know if that's actually true.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is where it's open to interpretation, isn't it? And you know, she's not left us a commentary on her video. We're not going to do a Bible study on her song. So there is that slight sense in which what exactly is she trying to get across? In terms of the detail, maybe not in terms of the big picture.
And one thing that I thought about is just how it ended with it. Well, how we're going to end this is just with a bottle.
Yeah.
Drowning our sorrows.
Yeah.
Not what God wants.
That's that, yeah. So she goes back to the bottle at the end. Interesting. Yeah. Just
a bad about it thing. I've got sons, not daughters, but I would hate my daughter to be walking around singing those actual words, the chorus words.
Okay.
It's me. Just that sense of just self-loathing. It just seems so hard to hear.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to ask you as a dad.
Well,
I mean, because the music's, you know, I can sing along.
Yeah.
And I know as a 10-year-old I sang along to things that now I listen to and think, oh dear, I didn't know I was singing that.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's just, it's so self-loathing. I mean, I
think as a dad, you know, I mean, if we're, We read our Bibles canonically. I'm going to read Taylor Swift canonically. You know, there are other songs where she talks about her value and worth. So, yeah. And it gets something right. We are the problem. Sin is inside us. You know, the problem is me. And I keep doing the same stupid things over and over again. But actually, if I can say, but you're also wonderfully made and loved and... You know, and then we'll come on to question 5 for the next bit. You know, there's another hand over here. Yeah. So, there are worse choruses she could sing, I think. But yeah, sure. Let's go on to question 5 then. What would Jesus say? How does the cross and resurrection answer the longings of this work?
I think it's we are the problem and Jesus is our hero and the solution to our problem.
Yeah. Good.
Someone mentioned community before at the end. She's with the sort of two other versions of herself.
Yeah.
And they're all sort of like cheering each other up, but it is actually just her. We've got a longing for community and needing to connect with other people, and that's not met for her in that video, but we have an answer for that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, interesting. Just you saying that, it kind of points out the loneliness of it. Yeah, but community is there, yeah.
I think he'd say, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and I love you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's a sort of Old Testament reference, but I think one of the Psalms says, you know, I lift my eyes up to God in heaven sort of thing. So it's rather than the introspection of the song, which is, makes it all about me, actually Jesus says, yeah, stop just looking at yourself. There's a God above, and there's hope up there.
Where does my help come from?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Brilliant.
I think you'd say, here's my robe, here's my ring, here's my sandals. You're a, you know, let's kill the fattened calf. Let's come and celebrate with me. Yeah, it's done.
Beautiful. Yeah, absolutely.
I think the message I'm trying to convey is the scripture that came to my mind is, whose report do we believe? Yes, it's me. I'm the problem. I think we can all go around singing, I'm sick. Mm-hmm. I'm an idiot. I'm foolish, because we all have flaws. But then should we be more focused on what does God think of me? What has he done for me? What should I be prophesying over myself? Because I believe words are very powerful. Even though that's my reality, do I dwell in it or constantly say that over me and over my heavens? Or do I believe that there is a hope for me in what God has said about me and hold on to that?
Yeah, thank you. His banner over me is love, yeah. Yeah.
It's sort of been said already, but when we were watching that, the first thing that came to mind was Tim Keller, and he says, the gospel is this, we're more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe, yet at the very same time, we're more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope.
Yeah, thank you. So that yet is really important, isn't it? It's like the buts in Romans, you know, but, you know, in answer to this, there's something better.
I think just looking at that last scene when she's on the roof there, for me, it looks like she needs a rescuer there, and obviously we've got a rescuer. So
yeah, absolutely. See, the gospel sings a better story, I think.
We said earlier that one of the sort of her longings in the song was that she was an outsider, whereas, you know, in Jesus she's welcomed in and doesn't just have a peer, but somebody to look up to. She's got a father, she's got a closest friend, she's got a wonderful counselor. She would never be alone.
Yeah. Thank you. Right. One more, is that right? Yeah, no, it's fine.
And I was just thinking about how, you know, there is so much beauty in the world, you know, there's natural creation and then, you know, as you were saying, sort of art and books and things, and sort of when you're speaking to the young people, to sort of encourage them to see that there's a lot in the world to enjoy.
Yeah.
And even if some of it is kind of man-made, it's because God has given us the skills to make it. But, you know, just sort of helping them to see life more positively.
Yeah, thank you. I think we're, as evangelicals, we're very bad at liking art unless it's propaganda. We really are. And actually just going, do you know what? There's some great stuff. That's in its own way, it's beautiful. Oh, it's flawed, but there's beauty in there. And let's talk about that. So I don't know. How would you do this? I mean, you know, I do it with teenagers all the time, and they do what you do. And they're great. With children, it's harder. They're not going to get there, not going to get to where we got to. I think with that, they can get some of the way. You know, like we mentioned, if you walk around singing, I'm the problem, it's me, that's the crux of the problem, at which point you go, what do you think she means by that? Do you think she's happy? And am I running out of time? It's time now. Okay, I'll finish up. So, there are, similarly, you might, if you're doing a kids talk on a Sunday, and something, the chorus fits, you might want to just show a bit of it and then talk about it and then go into the prodigal son or whatever you're teaching that then answers, sings a better story than that. So there are all kinds of ways that you can help equip your young people to read the world. What I would say is don't be afraid, and don't be afraid such that you try and hide it from them, because they will see it, they will read it, they will watch it. I discovered that my youngest daughter loves Jacqueline Wilson books, and she's reading her way through them, and she came across one that had two men holding hands on the front. And I kind of saw it and said, oh, what? And I had a look at it and like, oh, two men get married in this book. Now, my instinct was to go, you're not reading that. But I didn't. And I said, oh, it looks like two men get married in that. So, you know, happy for you to read it, and maybe we'll chat about it after you've read it. She then stopped reading it. And I said, oh, have you stopped reading it? And she was like, yeah, I don't want to talk to you about it. You can't win them all, but I guess my point is they're going to read it, so read it with them. They're going to watch it, so watch it with them. Talk to them about it. Ask some of these questions. Do some of this work yourself, just lightly. You can do this with Doctor Who tonight, or I don't know, it's on tonight, but you know, whatever you're reading, whatever you're watching, those five questions: what's the story? How's it told? What's good about it, what's bad about it, and what would Jesus say? Should help you just to begin to unpick and unlock what some of these cultural things are singing to us, speaking to us. Okay? Great. Shall I pray? Because my time's up, so says Becky. Lord Jesus, our world sings to our young people a song which so often they find and so often is beautiful, and yet is so flawed. Would you help us to be people who can read it, can hear it, can unpick it, and help them to do the same, so that they might see, Lord Jesus, how your gospel sings a more beautiful story, sings a more wonderful tale of a Savior who loves us and died for us. Oh, would they see that what the world has to offer is pale in comparison to you? Amen. Thank you, everybody.